That's so Braven. If you don't listen to this podcast, you know what happens? You get it.
Okay. I feel good about that.
What's going on, knuckle draggers? This is Benjamin Raven of the Court of Nerds. Guess what? This is That's So Braven. It is WrestleMania season, and we're going to talk about one thing, and that's wrestling. Oh, God. I am in studio this week. This is so much different than laying in my bed with my MacBook on my belly.
Is that normally how you do this podcast?
Yeah.
It shows.
You know what? I said it was the bare bones Kevin Owens show of podcasts.
Well, guess what? Now it's like the Chris Jericho fully produced bells and whistles. Hey, guys, it's Drew from Court of Nerds. I'm joining Ben this week on That's So Braven.
That's right.
While Ben may be the smarkiest smark to ever smark a smark, mm-hmm. I'm relatively new to this world of being an adult fan of wrestling. Because it's different. Let's admit that right off the bat.
It's different.
Like, my son is so emotionally invested in this stuff at 9 years old. A 9-year-old wrestling fan is way different than 31-year-old wrestling fan.
So much more different. So much more different. The last time I came over, Isaac waited up to ask me a wrestling question. And the wrestling question was like, what do you think is going to happen between Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho?
He's so cool, though.
And it's like, I'm such a smark, I wanted to like give him the real answer. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I think they're really best friends.
See, and that's the cool thing.
That is the cool thing.
So that's kind of why I'm on here with Ben this week, is it is the road to WrestleMania. And I think we have slightly different views of things, although we have shockingly similar wish lists of what we hope will come out of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Let's start with the road, the lead up to. You were at the last go at the Joe.
I was at Monday Night Raw on March 13th. It was a show. There were some cool moments. No matches. I mean, there was a no contest. There was a tag team count out DQ. Not a count out, but like they were in the ring together for too long. That's so rare that they DQ a match like that. And then the Bayley Nia Jax match was a DQ in the corner. She hit her for too long. There were just no matches. You got the return of Seth Rollins in the Triple H moment. That was awesome. Shawn Michaels out of nowhere. Raw just kind of felt like a disjointed mess.
Which is what it's felt like for months.
Exactly. Even more so in person. Like, oh my gosh. This is going to be another rant for another time. Stop changing the ring for 205 Live. I thought that before I saw them do that in person. I saw them do it in person. It's wasting 15 to 25 minutes a night of show.
Of the fans' time.
Of the fans' time.
Like, let's not talk about those of us that are at home annoyed watching bad promo after bad promo. It's you in the arena being bored off your ass for 20 minutes.
You could fit another 15-minute match on Raw without taping the ropes purple. I literally watched them set up the Raw ring, set up the 205 ring, take it down, set up the 205 ring again, take it down, and then they did it one more time. Do you know how mind-numbing that is?
At least if you're going to do multiple 205 matches in one show, do them back-to-back and leave the ring how it is.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Topic for another time. It was a disappointing Raw to attend. It had its fun moments, but I'm a wrestling fan. I like watching wrestling, and there was zero wrestling on a 3-hour-plus-long show.
Let's talk about a couple of the highlights, though. Austin Aries. Were you stoked to see Austin Aries?
I was stoked to see Austin Aries. I'd never seen him before.
You're a fan. I've known this for a while.
Yes, I'm a fan. I was a fan of his Ring of Honor work. He was one of the last TNA champions I gave a crap about. It was really cool to see him in person.
Looked impressive.
Yeah, he looked impressive. He looked great. I mean, he's a great talker. He's a great character, and he's a great worker. And that's what 205 Live needs right now. They have great workers. They have zero personalities outside of Neville and Aries and Gentleman Jack.
Right. And TJ Perkins is a great worker. He just has no pop.
He is so boring.
He's so vanilla. He fought Shinsuke on NXT and somehow made that boring.
You know, yeah, it wasn't their greatest. Those two are trained together, too. They have chemistry, and it was an okay match, but it's like, Shinsuke Nakamura is one of the hottest stars in the world right now.
Right.
You put TJ Perkins with it, and it's like rubbing something on something. I wanted to do an analogy. But
it's like putting truffles on tube steak.
I was going to like say it's soaking a lighter in marshmallow fluff or something like
what?
That.
What?
Exactly. It doesn't make sense.
Listen,
that's why
JR.
That's why I say Mauro.
Yeah, Mauro, right. God.
No, yeah. But Raw was, you know, Seth Rollins came back, took a crutch to the knee a couple of times.
Well, you say you're missing, you're glossing over one of my favorite parts. The return of Sacco.
The return of Sacco. I was just getting that. Mick Foley actually stood up for himself. That was a very well-produced segment in the ring. Foley is facing... He's facing away from Triple H and Stephanie, and you just see him slowly pull the sock out of his pants, and the crowd went ballistic. And the second that sock hit Triple H's mouth, just nuts. That was a great moment. Shawn Michaels' return was a fun little moment.
Even though it made no sense, and who knows where they're going with it.
The crowd didn't even really pop for Shawn Michaels.
Because they were confused.
That's how confusing and disjointed Raw is. Speaking of confusing and disjointed, how about SmackDown? On Tuesday night.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, and part of it, and they admitted it during the broadcast, part of it was that the weather kept some of their superstars out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It kept half, literally half of their announced team out of Pittsburgh because I believe Mauro was off doing Showtime boxing work over the weekend.
Yeah.
And then Umaga's filming a movie.
Yeah, Jennifer Hudson's husband, as I like to call him.
Jennifer Hudson's husband is filming a movie. So your announce booth for SmackDown was Tom Phillips and JBL.
And it was the best commentary work outside of Tom Phillips and Corey Graves a couple months ago on NXT.
Yeah.
Two-man booths work better. You put two rookie ring announcers on a two-man booth, and it's going to be better than a three- or four-man booth.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I wouldn't disagree with that at all. I mean, it's... How's this? There are certain personalities that WWE seems to feel they have to force in their announce booths, and you don't have to do that anymore.
No.
You don't. You really don't. How's this? I love Mauro Ranallo. I admire.
Mm-hmm.
I strive to be Mauro Ranallo. Mauro never should have taken the WWE job. Should have stuck with boxing, what he's incredible at, but he doesn't know the moves. He doesn't know the culture. He does, you know.
Oh, Mauro, you know, Mauro did Japanese pro wrestling for a while. This dude... He knows everything, man. Like, Mauro is the type of guy that could, like, tell you, like, Taz said this on Taz's show, Mauro can tell you what color shoelaces Shinsuke Nakamura was wearing in a house show match in 2006, but he can't remember what the Elimination Chamber is called.
Right.
Just, like, I mean, it's stuff like that.
Yeah, the dude is an encyclopedia, but he might be, as the kids say, doing a little extra these days.
Mm-hmm.
He might be trying to do too much, and I get it. And again... I want to be very clear in case for some reason he hears this podcast. I admire and wish my career somehow ends up like Mauro Ranallo's.
If I could pick two people to be the announcers, it would be Mauro and Corey Graves.
Yeah. I mean, and it's funny, they, you know, you in radio, in the industry I work in, a three-man show has a formula. It's called a dick, a deer, and a dork, right? So I think they're trying to, on Raw, you're trying to set up Saxton's the deer, Corey Graves is the dick, and Mauro's the dork.
Yeah, and then everyone on SmackDown's just all dicks.
But it doesn't work because Saxton has no personality that he contributes.
Mm-mm.
He's just a fluffball moron. And he and Graves try to switch personalities sometimes.
Does not work at all.
You have to stay in your lane. You have to. As someone who played a character on a show for 5 years that wasn't me, it doesn't matter. Stay in your lane, man.
Mm-hmm.
Know the character you're playing and stick to it. And you're right. On SmackDown, they haven't established any character roles.
No.
How's this? You should have JBL be the guy who's all for the superstars, who's the advocate for the superstars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have somebody else being the next, you know, the next person being the no, management is always right. And then your play-by-play person. That's it. If you're going to have a three-man booth, that's what you have to do.
Yep.
Tom Phillips, as talented as he is clogging up both booths when he sits in there as the fourth man.
And it's just, it's a disservice. And, you know, for me, it's not even, it's a personality thing totally. But at the same time, the biggest issue I have with the multiple people booths is wrestling is about letting a moment sink in. I don't want to be told exactly what I'm seeing. I want to see what I'm seeing. I want to develop my own feelings on the moment. I want the moment to resonate with me and not somebody yelling at me, telling me how to feel about it.
Right. I mean, that part of what made JR so magical.
Yes.
Was it may have been nonsense half the time, but he was doing what we were all doing on the inside.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Exactly. And JR says this on his podcast. If you're not listening to the Ross Report, wrestling podcast, sign off, listen to it. He talks about selling and letting a moment breathe all the time. If you know how to do those two things in professional wrestling as a referee, as a worker, as a manager, as an announcer, you will make it. You will get over with the fans either in a good or a bad way because the fans do not want to be treated stupid. And that's kind of what WWE's been doing to its fan base on WrestleMania season. Looking at that battle royal that AJ Styles clearly hit his feet on the ground by like 5 seconds before Luke Harper did. It's just been an absolute mess. And, I mean, rolling into it, let's talk about WrestleMania season a little bit.
Well, hold on. I want to. SmackDown was a train wreck last night. And again, much like Raw on Monday, cool moments. No really cool matches whatsoever. You had the phenomenal moment between Daniel Bryan and The Miz where they set the WrestleMania match that we've been predicting for months of John Cena and Nikki Bella versus Maryse and The Miz. Can't wait for that one. I mean, honestly, I think it'll be great. I've not seen Maryse in ring. Ben, maybe have you?
She's good. She's good. She works. She's a good talker. She's a good worker. It's been a while. Man, I want to say at least 2011, 2010.
So we might see a little ring rust, or we might see her have a couple warm-up matches leading up to it.
I'm sure she's going to do some house shows. She's been posting on Instagram and Twitter her working out with The Miz. She looks to be in great shape. She's always been a great character.
I'll be interested to see if they will let Miz and Nikki wrestle. If they will let Maryse and Cena wrestle.
Nope, the rule is once the guy gets tagged in, the other guy has to tag in once the female tags in.
I don't like that because I think Nikki's just as yoked as The Miz.
Oh, yeah, they could probably trade blows on strength.
I mean, I'm just saying, how's this?
No offense, Miz.
No offense to Miz.
Trades with John Cena.
Yeah, I mean, Nikki's thighs are as big as your biceps, son. You know, let's be honest, Nikki's thighs are as big as my head, and I like it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel Bryan, again, killing the mic work. I swear to God, if there is any surgery or if there's a body part I can donate to get him back in the ring, he can have it.
Yeah, no, because his time as general manager has really, he's become a complete character. And the knock against him when he first came in was that he was kind of awkward on the mic. You know, he had that, I just lost my train of thought. He had that just Sasha Banks as a good person type of feel to him. It's just like, quit being so sunshiny and glowy for no reason. Even when he was a bad guy, he was the cheap, whiny bad guy character at times. But he is just a complete storyteller now. Him and The Miz are on another level.
It really is. It really, and I there's a part of me that hopes that they're best friends. Honest to God. There's a part of me that hopes that once the show's over, they hug and go, man, it's funny that people think we hate each other.
They should, because they have both improved in very different ways, but they are both, I mean, they've grown together. You put those two together, they grow together. Whether it gets a payoff moment or not, they have built something special between The Miz and Daniel Bryan.
I'm just hoping that the moment that lands Daniel Bryan eventually fired from SmackDown is he finally punches Miz in the face.
Yes.
The other moment that you have to talk about from SmackDown is the AJ Styles attack on Shane McMahon. Put his head through a car windshield, car door window, whatever
it was. And that match is official for WrestleMania, Shane McMahon and AJ Styles.
You were calling for a gimmick. You think it's going to be a gimmick match?
I think it's going to be a ladder match. I think there's going to be a contract hanging from the middle of the ring.
And it's going to be AJ's right to choose what happens next with his career?
I think so. I think he'll be able to pick a brand. I don't think he goes back to SmackDown after beating the shit. Crap out of the general manager.
Yeah,
oh, this is that's so brave, and I can say shit all I want.
Yeah, usually remember you record this podcast on your belly.
not all the time.
Not all the time. Just most of the time.
It's a wrestling podcast. I do whatever.
Look, man, no one's hating on you. I'm your guest this week.
That's right.
I'm your guest.
Wow. No.
Well, did that just hit you?
It did a little bit, just because I'm in the studio.
I know this is you're in my ring.
I'm in your ring.
You're in my yard,
That's right.
I'm in God, was there, by the way, can we just establish this very quickly? Was there anything stupider than trying to move Roman into a program with Undertaker when he's not finished with Strowman yet?
No, it's a disservice to Braun Strowman. It's a disservice to the fans. It's a disservice to the Undertaker's WrestleMania. I mean,
if this is his last Mania, which it's looking like it will be.
It might. I mean, I don't think he retires without doing a John Cena WrestleMania match. But why the hell isn't that happening this year? I mean, it just goes to show that they will force Roman Reigns at no ends.
Yeah.
The number 30 entrant in the Royal Rumble. The ending the Braun feud before it's over just so he gets chokeslammed by Taker. That's why people hate Roman Reigns. There's no character there. There's no storytelling there. It's boring.
Oh, his offense is so limited and so terrible.
Yeah, and you know, he's a lot better in the ring than people give him credit for, but it's just that there's no... depth to him or his stories.
How's this? One of his two finishers is a normal move in another sport.
The Superman punch has got to go.
It's got to go. You need to learn some kind of suplex variation, make something up. You are big enough and strong enough that you should be whipping people around and doing something at least as cool as what Baron Corbin's doing.
Oh, I know. Yeah. So, Roman, when he was originally with NXT, had a different kind of bulldoggy finisher move. It was like a power bulldog. Why not have that be your signature setup for the spear or something? The Superman punch, save it for huge aerial spots, like AJ Styles jumping off a ladder out of the ring to you. Hit the Superman punch.
Do some kind of running, draping, you know, Stone Cold Stunner, Diamond Cutter variation.
Something. He needs something. He needs a change to his moveset. He needs a change to his character. He needs a change to his look. And he needs somebody to write this guy a freaking story.
Yeah. And shave his head. Just for kicks.
Just shave his head?
I'm just sick of the wet dog look from everyone. but that, you know, again, the big SmackDown moment was AJ and Shane.
Yeah.
And that match will likely result at WrestleMania in a change to the roster.
Mm.
Personally, I think, it's been what? It's been a year since the draft?
Yeah, about it. What was it? June?
Yeah, it was
July.
Just before SummerSlam.
Yep, yeah, that's right.
We're coming up on a year, and we haven't seen what should have made this so much more interesting, trades.
I know. I don't know why they don't explore that. It'd be fun. You don't have to go crazy with it, but a trade every once in a while would be fun.
Right. I loved when Foley and Sami Zayn were joking that you've been traded at SmackDown.
Yeah, I know. I was pretty excited about it.
Yeah, and it could have been great. And then they did nothing with it.
Yeah.
Now, how's this? Does Mick Foley get fired at WrestleMania, or does it happen before then?
I think it happens before then.
And they announce the new Raw general manager at WrestleMania.
I mean, they should. I mean, at least have one of those time filler segments amount to something.
Right. Give me your short list of who you'd like to see. I mean, as the replacement Raw GM. I'll tell you, my short list starts and ends with Edge.
Yeah, uh-huh.
The rated R superstar, one of the best ever on the mic, still an engaging personality, still relevant because he's done acting gigs. He was phenomenal on Haven. I love that show.
I got one for you.
What you got?
Kurt Angle.
Okay, playing the hard ass, playing the enforcer.
When he was injured and back a decade ago, he was the SmackDown general manager. Kurt Angle is a great bad guy. He's a great heel, and he's got some matches left in him. So you could have some payoff general manager match feuds. The rumor is he's got 3 matches in him after WrestleMania. He's going to get in the ring. What better way than to have him be the GM? Rub some people the wrong way.
I like that.
Edge is awesome, though. I would love Edge. I just hope it's not forcing Edge and Christian. We totally reek of awesomeness. I like Edge. I don't like cheesy kid Edge. I like Edge, the rated R superstar.
Rated R superstar was the best.
I'm not saying he has to be a bad guy. I'm just saying he has to be kind of a cocky prick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, that's Edge. You know, let Edge be Edge. That would be awesome. Mick Foley, I love you, Mick. I've read all your books. I grew up with you, but you got to go.
I think he knows it, too, though.
I think he does, too. It's just gotten stale.
It has. The bit has gotten stale. Him firing Stephanie on Monday night. Yeah. Like, look, man, it was a cool payoff moment, and I was happy he did it. And then it's like, oh, okay, now what? What do you do next week?
Exactly. You know, I like the angle of them talking about his kids. His kids really do work for WWE. And this is where Mick has started losing me the last year. He said, oh, it wasn't my name that got them jobs at WWE. Oh, really?
Yeah,
it wasn't?
Wait, seriously?
Because usually you need like 8 to 10 years of experience to get into TV writing for WWE.
But hey.
And if you come out of Mick's ball sack, you get a job.
Oh, my God. Oh, the That's So Braven podcast is raunchy. This thing is raunchy.
Oh, shoot.
It's too early for WrestleMania match predictions because there's still some things that can develop. But
the we can road, talk about how the card's coming together, though.
I mean, the road's a little... Yeah, let's run down the card real quick. Go ahead.
I don't want to go... That's for another time. I don't want to waste a podcast.
Look, man, I'm rarely your guest. I'm just saying, you know, if it was going to happen, this might be the one time.
Bray versus Randy is official.
Bray and Randy is official.
Let's just do one sentence takes on each match.
Okay. Bray versus Randy. Underwhelming.
Bray better frickin' win.
Good. I like that. All right. What's next?
We have got Jericho and Kevin Owens for the United States Championship.
Owens will win, but Jericho should.
I hope they get 20 minutes.
Nice.
Oh, Goldberg versus Brock for the Universal Championship.
Don't fucking care.
Goldberg better take a couple frickin' bumps. Give us a match. There's a comma in that sentence.
Yeah, that's okay. You're fine.
Miz and Maryse versus Nikki Bella and John Cena.
This is the one match I wish was 1990s WCW, WWE, whatever it is, because then there was a chance that someone might lose their top. I'm a bro. Leave me alone.
I hope it leads to Miz going up the card a little bit. I'm not saying he needs to win, but the dude deserves a title shot. He deserves to be. Yeah, card climbing for the Miz. Get him that. Bayley, Charlotte, and Sasha, triple threat match.
Has to be better than the triple threat last year. That's what it has to. You have to top. Like, I don't care who wins, but you have to top what Becky, Sasha, and Charlotte put on.
Tell a different story than these three coming up together. That's got to be something more than just this feel-good friends we
You're
made
sick
story.
Of the four horsewomen.
I'm not sick of it. I just want a story. I've heard that story for a long time now. It's time to move in a different direction. Use these talents. Do not pander to your audience.
It's like when we talk to comic book writers, all they want to do is tell a great story. All you want is a great women's division story.
Yes.
What is Nia Jax? Like, where does she fit in this picture?
Yeah. How do you get Sasha out of this disgusting face zone she's in? She is a great heel. She deserves to be a heel. They are building for the Bayley turn.
And maybe someone ends up on SmackDown. There's got to be some kind of transference of power. SmackDown is too tag team women heavy. Raw is too tag team women light.
Yeah, in SmackDown's women's title matches, Alexa Bliss, Mickie James, Becky Lynch, Natalya, Carmella versus others to be announced. They're just going to chuck women at the ring.
Well, Daniel Bryan's thing was it's every available woman on the SmackDown roster, and I don't think he intends to pull punches with that. Any woman that is signed. And how's this? Here's my first WrestleMania hot take. Is this where we see Asuka?
No.
No? Too soon?
Yeah. They've built the Ember Moon Asuka feud up pretty hard for that weekend's takeover.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing with Bayley last year and when they were building up her feud with Asuka. And I think that I don't know. I don't think they'll shortchange NXT weekend.
What about those two Aussie ladies?
Not ready yet.
Not ready. I don't think they're ready yet either. I think their mic work needs a lot of work.
Yeah. They've got potential. That's not meant as a downcry to them, but I don't think they're ready for the NXT main event scene yet.
Wow. All right.
They just need time. All right,
what else? We got the Andre the Giant Battle Royal Memorial.
I don't care.
You don't care?
It has never led to anything for anyone.
There's no payoff other than I won it. I get this Andre the Giant trophy.
That's it.
All right. Big Show wins it then. I'll call it right now.
Yeah.
He said it's his final mania.
Two-time Andre winner.
Two-time Andre winner. He retires. They give him something because Shaq boned him.
Yep. Neville and Aries.
Got to be great.
Yeah.
To be great.
I'm excited for that.
How's this? They need 20 minutes, and they both have to fly.
I don't care if it's on the pre-show.
Right, but give them 20.
Give them time. And those are two characters that could take 205 Live to a level, not the next level.
No, but just make it exist.
Yeah. Make it to exist to people like not just like me.
Right.
Gallows and Anderson versus Enzo and Cass versus Sheamus and Cesaro.
So it's a three-way that's official?
Yeah,
it's official. That's stupid.
Yeah, that happened Monday in Detroit.
I saw the stupid ending of the match, and then there was Foley screaming at Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah.
I hope it lends some direction to the tag team division. That's all I need. Yeah. I think it's Enzo and Cass winning it.
Mm-hmm.
Because their pop is unreal.
Yep. Yep.
And
yep.
I think it's time.
I think it's time.
And then you can program them with New Day. Yeah. You can bring up your boys, the Revival.
Because
they would be perfect heels to those two.
I know they would.
They would be great. Do we see Shinsuke at WrestleMania?
No.
No. Dude, that simple, no?
No. Nope. I just don't feel it. I don't feel NXT call-ups happen at Mania outside of like maybe a Ty Dillinger in the Battle Royal.
Right. Right. What is his future? What is the Perfect 10's future?
Perfect 10's future? Man. He's a great mid-card talent. And the thing is, people will go nuts when I say this, but he might be one of the just naturally gifted wrestlers, talkers in the industry. He is massively underrated. He is Seriously, you hear other wrestlers talk about this guy, and they're like, how is he not one of the biggest stars in WWE? Like, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, he's got the following. He's got everything. I'd love to see him. I don't think he's their type of main event talent, but I think he should touch that level a time or two.
Right. How's this? I won't be shocked. I know he's got the title match the night before with Shinsuke, assuming he hangs on to it, Bobby Roode. But I think Bobby Roode could be another Battle Royal entrant.
Nope. Bobby Roode is a potential main event talent. He is the Miz, Mike skill-wise, with better in-ring work to Maya.
Wow.
This guy, Bobby Roode, if you haven't seen Bobby Roode, I know, TNA, NXT, once he hits the main roster, you're going to hate this guy, and you're going to love that you hate him.
Yeah. Yep. Like AJ.
There's no pure heels on the main roster. I mean, outside of a give or take a couple guys, those right. are the kind of guys that fly up the card. Bobby Roode's, the Miz's. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any big debuts or anything like that.
We got Samoa Joe, Sami Zayn. Is that official for WrestleMania?
Uh-uh.
That's not happening.
Oh, I hope it happens. I hope Joe has something. It would be such a waste to even have him on the WWE roster if he's
not. And then there's the question is, what is this Rollins Triple H thing?
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't know if Seth is going to be 100% healthy. It's almost got to be a tag match, I feel like. You got to protect yourself. And that's how you get Joe involved in a big match. You do Triple H and Joe versus Seth and Sammy.
Well, what if it's
not? That'd be fun. I just talked myself into that.
Well, I know that you just talked yourself into it. Let me throw a monkey wrench into it. Because I think everyone, you know, considering that he's been back at house shows, he's coming back at some point. What if it's Seth and Finn teaming up?
That'd be awesome. That would be awesome.
You've got two of the most dynamic stars on your roster, both of whom have massive pop,
mm-hmm.
and you team them up and have them roll through Joe and Triple H.
Yeah.
I'm not talking a squash, but I'm talking you have Seth and the game work against each other in the ring, and you have Samoa Joe and Finn, who already have some great matches under their belt,
yes.
work against each other in the ring for the most part.
That's safe.
It's safe. It's a win when your quote-unquote main event. And I'm not taking anything away from Randy or Bray, but God, that story is tired and fucking stupid.
Well, it's already tired and stupid because they're just rereading the stuff that they did in weeks prior. There's nothing new to it.
God, Randy on SmackDown was it's exhausting. Bray rubbing the ashes of Sister Abigail.
Yeah, they need to move away from that. Move on.
Yeah. And hopefully that's what WrestleMania will bring, a move forward. For some major storylines here, towards SummerSlam and whatever happens beyond.
The night after WrestleMania is when you might see a Nakamura, when you might see an Asuka. The Raw after WrestleMania is debut and craziness central.
Maybe a redraft even.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they are going to do some major roster moves coming out of WrestleMania. I mean, it's been a year. You've been able to evaluate it. You see the weaknesses on both shows. Raw is rich where SmackDown is weak, and SmackDown is rich where Raw is weak.
Yeah, we'll see if they can fix it. That being said, it's your show. Wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Like I said, we'll do match predictions and stuff like that later on. I'll try to get down here so I can get Drew and John on the WrestleMania recap stuff, but that's about it. That's so Braven. We're in the studio. We're feeling weird.
We got to work on your clothes.
I know, right? I'm not a clothes anything. I just kind of stopped talking. Cash rules everything around me.